have some friends in ministry who shared recently that they had found great frustration in their ministries because they had been attempting to lead their churches on empty. In other words, they were empty, they were dry, and yet still in that position of leadership. And that's a very difficult place to be, and I think that's one of the great blessings that you've given to me to kind of step back and get filled up. And as I thought about that, I realized that there are a lot of you, a lot of all of us, who have a tendency to run dry spiritually. And we lose the joy, we lose some of the enthusiasm. We want to do right by God, we want to serve Him, we want to make a difference. And we just fight through that, and the bottom line is we're continuing to live, sometimes to lead and to serve and to worship, and we go through all the stuff that is happening, but we're running on empty. That is a very dangerous place to be because it opens us up to temptation. It opens us up to burnout where we just fall off and disappear. And so today I'd like to bring a message that I think is very crucial for us. I call it a refreshed life. And I'd like for you to find in your Bible Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Maybe today this is where you are in your life. It's a season in your life when you're kind of running on empty. And what you'd really need and what you'd really like to see is for God just to do a fresh, new, good, wholesome thing in your life. So I pray that today this message would speak to your life and to our church really throughout top to bottom. This is an account of an event in the life of Jesus Christ, and there are several people who are involved in this. You have a group of Pharisees and the guy's named Simon, and he has a perspective on the events that occurred. The disciples were there. These are the followers of Christ. They too had a perspective on what they saw. And then there's Jesus Christ, and he's always the star of the show, isn't he? At least he is supposed to be the star of the show. And so he is there doing what he does best. And before we look at the other person, I would tell you that maybe you and I are in the story as well. Now, there's a verse in the Old Testament prophet named Habakkuk, and I really love this passage, where he says, "O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." So what that prophet is saying, Lord, I've heard about what you've done in the past. He may have been thinking about how God had delivered the Israelites from slavery. He might have heard about great battles that the Lord has led them to win. But he's heard about all the great works of God in the past. And then he's saying, but Lord, do you have anything for us now? And so it may be that you are kind of in the place of that prophet where you hear about what God is doing in somebody else's life and you hear about what God is doing over here, but it's time for you to stop hearing about what's happening in their life and you're ready for God to do something in your life. And maybe you're in this story as well. And then we have this woman. And we're going to try to view this passage through the life of this woman. And she's the one that got the refreshed life. So we're in Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. It says there, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Now, just note really quick that he said that to himself. But it's interesting that Jesus Christ heard him say it. So he knows what's in your heart today and in your mind. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. Probably thought he was going to get something really good. You know, the Lord has something to say to every one of us today. And we ought to be in the same position. Say, well, Lord, say it. And you might expect it to be something really good. And it may be. But it might be something challenging as well. So he said, a certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, and the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you've judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. And therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. So the way we are loved are attached to how we have experienced forgiveness. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this? You could say, who does he think he is? Who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So her life became a refreshed life. And so Simon, he should have been shamed a little bit. I don't know if he was. The disciples should have learned something here, and I think they probably did. Jesus Christ got blessed because he's doing what he came to do, and besides, he got a really nice foot massage out of the deal. But this woman, she got refreshed. And so let's just break down what a refresh looks like. Running on empty? Well, here's how you can fill it up. Well, it's a cyclical thing, and I hope you'll be able to catch this as we go through. But it begins and it ends with authentic worship. The scripture tells us that seasons of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And so this woman was engaged in an incredible act of authentic worship. It was deliberate and it was desperate. And so she is enthralled in the presence of the Lord. And so we have this beautiful picture. And so let me just say a few things about worship. We're going to break that down in a moment. But worship has got to be a deliberate act that we seek. And in order for that to happen, there are oftentimes some things that we have to get rid of for a little bit. We may need not just to put our phone on silence, but we need to turn it off. Did you know you can do that? And get rid of that distraction. We turn off the TV. And maybe we get somebody to keep the kids. Maybe we just detach ourselves from all of the stuff. And we spend some time worship. Just worship. And what happens when we are in authentic worship, we begin to get the feeling again. And the feeling. And all the other things that I'm going to talk about today just flow from that. Authentic worship. What we do here, what we're doing now, it's just a little sliver. Just a little sliver of worship. And you might get a partial feeling in a worship service like this, but as you head out to the mall, the first thing you're going to do is to click your phone back on and check your messages, because the Lord knows you don't want to miss something. How do we live without the phones? And you're going to get all the thought, and whatever you may have gotten in here is lost in just a moment or two. And so authentic worship is some time designated, set aside, when you're just concentrating on Him and everything starts to fall in place. So this authentic worship, four things about it. We see Jesus as He is, for who He is. If you go to Isaiah chapter 6, which is a classic passage of worship, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, which was a crisis, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in His glory. And so he saw the Lord as He really is. The woman in this passage, she saw Jesus Christ for who He really was. Simon, the other guy, did not. Do you agree? The woman saw Him for who He was. Simon did not. And so that set the course for their whole life and this whole experience. And so for Isaiah, he was there all along, but Isaiah didn't see Him. And now the crisis made him look to Him. And I would again go back to our country and to our culture. Perhaps all of these crises are eventually going to make us look to see who Jesus Christ really is. And so this authentic worship, Jesus Christ is seen for who He really is. And the woman saw Him, Simon did not. Secondly, we see ourselves as we really are. When Isaiah saw the Lord, it says, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And so when this woman saw herself as she really was in worship, then everything that follows kind of falls into place. She saw that she was a sinner. She knew that she was a sinner, and there was no doubt about that. She saw the glory of Jesus Christ and His brightness, and that exposed the darkness of her own life. And you see, Simon didn't have any of that at all. Simon felt that he was a righteous man, a Pharisee. And so when we get engaged in authentic worship, we do see Jesus Christ as He really is in all of His glory. And then when we see that, it makes us see who we are. Now, I know that nobody in here is as bad as you could be. Am I right? But everybody in here, deep down inside, you know the potential of how bad you could be, right? And so in authentic worship, we see the glory of Jesus for who He is, and then we see the ugliness in our own heart. No cover-up, no selfishness, no pride, no ambition, no divisions. She just lasered in on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I really feel like that she had earlier had an encounter with Jesus before coming to the house. And she's in this cycle. She had met Him. She had worshiped. She'd gone through this cycle. And now she's coming back. She's worshiping again. It's a cycle. And so He's plumbing the depths of her sinfulness, and she's not covering it up. A third thing, when we have authentic worship, we see things as they really are. Now, life can get messed up. And there are a lot of challenges that come to all of our lives, and a lot of mountains that we have to climb, a lot of problems, a lot of issues, and sometimes they seem absolutely insurmountable. Now, I'll just tell you how it works for me. I've shared this with you before. Oftentimes when I'm stepping into the Lord's presence to pray and to worship on my own, and I've got this issue that's really a bad one that I've got to pray for, I've got to figure out how to deal with it. And so I have a process that I go through when I pray, and it's a lengthy process. It takes 25 or 30 minutes as I just kind of worship and get ready to actually begin to ask God for stuff. And I can tell you almost every time after I go through this time of being in the Lord's presence, I get to that big issue and I begin to say, okay, God, here's this deal. It's almost like God always says, look, I know all about it. I got this thing covered. So you do what you think you got to do, but don't worry. I got it. I got it. Do you know that God has got this? And when you get in His presence and worship, He lets you see things as they really are. And the way things really are is that God works all things together for the good of them who love Him, who are called according to your purpose. Somebody asked a great preacher named Charles Spurgeon, who was having some difficulties. The guy said, "Well, you know, Brother Spurgeon, these are all blessings in disguise." He said, "They are disguised really well." But when you're in the presence of God, it gives you that sense, somehow, some way, God is working all this together ultimately for my good. And that is the component of a refreshed life. And so the lady is beginning to see that as things as they really are. And then here's a beautiful thing in authentic worship. Jesus sees us as we really are. Now that is awesome. He saw Simon as Simon really was, and Simon didn't even know how he was. But when he looked at this woman, he kind of looked past her sinfulness, and he saw her as this young lady for whom he was about to die. He saw a young lady made in his own image, and he didn't see her for what she was or what she had been. He saw her for what she could be. And so we went get into authentic worship. God is not looking at us through our shortcomings and failings. The Lord sees us as we really are. He sees us as we could be. That is an incredible and an astounding thing. What flows from that is brokenness. The lady was just broken. I don't know how many times maybe she had tried to do better and it didn't work. But when she got in the presence of Jesus Christ, man, I want to tell you, she just said, "I can't do this on my own. What God has done for me is absolutely astounding." And she came bringing whatever she had, which was this ointment. She did whatever she could, just kissing His feet. And in this culture, that's one of the most degrading things that you could do to somebody, wiping it with her hair. On one of our trips to Israel, in fact, I think it was the first trip I took, there is a church that's built upon the place where Caiaphas lived, which is where Jesus would have been brought when He was arrested. And there's some ancient steps coming up out of the valley where the Garden of Gethsemane comes into the valley and then up into Jerusalem. And the steps would have been the actual steps that Jesus Christ would have actually walked on. And my first trip to Israel, you could go out on those steps and hang around a little bit, which was an incredible experience. They now have barriers where you can't get on it. I jumped a barrier, and the man with the gun said, "You better get away from there." But the first time we went, a lady got down on her hands and knees and started kissing the rocks of where Jesus Christ had walked up the steps. And that's kind of the picture here, this lady just broken, just spilling it out. When is the last time something like that happened to you? When you were just in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and it was so overwhelming that you were, "Man, I'm undone. I'm just broken before God." The beautiful things about stuff that gets broken, usually they're stronger at the place they got broken. How many of you have ever had a broken bone? Anybody ever had a broken bone? Broken bones, man. I had a broken arm one time. What they tell you, and I don't know for sure, but I'm just going to tell you what I've read, that when you have a broken bone and it mends and it grows back together and heals, it's stronger at that point where it was broken than it is anywhere else. And so when the Lord is breaking us at that point, like He did the woman, He's really making us stronger than we ever were before. And so there's this sense of brokenness. You notice its absence in Simon's life, but there it is in the life of this woman. And then there is repentance. That's the third step. It's the third step. And so this lady, when she went back following this, she's not living that same lifestyle anymore, because something has dramatically changed in her life. Jesus Christ has instituted a dramatic shift. She wasn't following rules. She wasn't trying to please anybody else. But based on what she had discovered in Jesus Christ, she now is stepping out into a brand new life, a change of direction. And if there's anything missing in American Christianity today, it's this idea that a relationship with Jesus Christ has a direct impact on the way we live. Somehow we've bought into a deal that I can tag Jesus onto my life and still live any way that I want to. And I don't watch this TV show. I do not watch it. I don't like it. I would rather stare at the wall in the corner than watch this show. It's called The Bachelorette. I'm not even going to ask who watches it, because all you women watch it. It's romance. I have other words for it, but it's not proper to use. All right. So, this last series, real beautiful young lady. You know the storyline? You know what they do? All these guys come in and they try to win her heart, and she ends up selecting one. Have that rose ceremony, which I think is the corniest thing ever produced. Give me a rose. Thank you for the rose. Well, this last gal, she real beautiful young lady, kind of getting down to the handful of these guys. So, man, it's not hidden. She goes to bed, has sex with them. And she says, Jesus still loves me. Okay, yeah, Jesus loves everybody. But her message is, I can do whatever I want to. And I'm still really great with Jesus. That's somebody who has not been in authentic worship in a long time. A long time. And it may be where you are. And I'll tag Jesus on to get me into heaven. But, you know, as far as life goes, I'm going to do my own deal. So there was this time of repentance because she had been in the presence of God. And then there's a fourth step, and that is forgiveness. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. It's obvious that you've met me by the way you're loving me. You've been forgiven. Forgiveness always elicits that love response. Now, I would tell you that my wife and I really don't fight, but we do have spats. And guys, I just tell you, go ahead and give up because you're going to lose. You don't win a spat. And it's always great when you get to the point when you're making up from a spat for forgiveness to occur. So the guy always says, will you forgive me? And then you wait on pins and needles because you know she's going to forgive you, but you're praying that she doesn't say for what? Because if she says for what, then it's the guessing game. And you say, well, you know, with what I said and what I did, be more specific, please. Why don't you tell me what I did and then we'll know? But it's really good to be forgiven. And how incredible is it to be forgiven by the God of the universe? I'm telling you, it's refreshing. Now, I want you to realize you cannot go beyond a place where Jesus Christ cannot forgive you. He can reach wherever you've been and whatever you've done. I think I saw him. There's a guy here somewhere. I saw him, I thought. Anyway, he lived a little while in my hometown where I grew up. And he went to the church that I grew up in. They found out he had a connection here, and they said, oh, you know, Jimmy Pritchard. He said, yeah, I know. And they said, you know what we do down here? I said, what's that? I said, anytime somebody ever says that person has gone beyond God ever reaching them, we tell them the story about little Jimmy Pritchard. What a legacy. I want to tell you, you can't go too far and do stuff too bad that Jesus Christ cannot reach into your life and forgive you. And that forgiveness is experienced and applied through authentic worship. What would make a woman do stuff like this? The reality of Jesus Christ. There's a fifth step, and that is freedom. You know, when this lady left this, man, I want to tell you, the ball and chain was gone. She didn't care what Simon thought. She didn't care what anybody thought. She didn't care what the townspeople thought, because she knew that she had been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and now she is absolutely free from all of the bondage and the baggage that had carried her down. Free. Freedom. Refreshed. Full. And it all flowed, remember, out of authentic worship. And now she's living in freedom. And I will tell you today, in Jesus Christ, you can be absolutely set free. New strength, new confidence, new energy, a life that is full and refreshed. This guy, Simon, man, he just didn't get it. And he missed it. Do you see the two differences? The sixth thing that I would say to you about this refreshed life, the woman got a greater capacity to love. Because she had experienced that forgiveness, she is now able to love people who had been in her situation or worse. And she was able to forgive people because she had personally experienced it. I will tell you, we are living among a lot of people who know nothing about forgiveness because they have never really genuinely been forgiven themselves. And so I want to tell you, if you have problems forgiving people who've done you wrong, and everybody has had somebody do you wrong. Now, I'm not saying they need to be your best buddy, but you've got to be able to forgive them. And you can if you recognize how much Jesus Christ has forgiven you. And it's a refueling stage of our life. Now, with that being said, I want you to think with me about a couple of things. Think about for a moment, what would a church worship service look like if it was full of people like this woman? What would a worship service look like if it was full of people like this woman? Would it be kind of wild, you think? Would it be extravagant? Would it be... Man, it'd be awesome, don't you think? It'd be exciting because they're worshiping Jesus Christ, who has made a dramatic difference in their lives. Now, one of the things that Baptist churches have built their legacy on is a thing called regenerate church membership, which means that the only people who can be members of a Baptist church are people who have been saved, who've had an experience something like what the woman has had. And so ideally, every time we meet for worship, it should be filled with people who are like the woman, who've been forgiven, restored, or filled, and it's awesome. Think with me for a moment, what would a church look like if it was full of people like Simon? What would that church service look like? Too many of the services that we have, don't you think? It'd be folks like this. We started late. Lights are a little bright. Why are we selling coffee in the church anyway? The music guy, man, look at what he's wearing. I get that. I understand. What's that dude doing with a beard like that? We know it's church. I wish that bastard landed airplane. Who picked a music? You know, I think Simon would be there, don't you? I don't think the woman would be. I don't think the woman would care what time it started. I don't even think she'd care what time it ended. You know, I had a guy one time say, "Preacher, you need to go a little longer in your sermon." He said, "I'm not completing my nap." Because we're caught up with Jesus Christ. But we've kind of squeezed him out and we make him fit our schedule. Okay, so if that's the kind of church that these guys would have, let me ask you this. What kind of a worshiper are you? Are you more like the woman? Or are you more like Simon? Now, let me just say this. The further you get from when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the more your tendency is to gravitate toward the Simon style, because you just kind of forget where you've come from. And that's why authentic worship is so crucial to keep us living a refreshed life. I pray that today that we have seen Jesus Christ as he really is, the Son of God, who died on the cross to pay our sin debt, who extends an invitation to every person. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in seeing him for who he really is, we have a chance to see ourselves for who we really are, and how desperately we need him, and how far short we've fallen. I pray that we've been able to see things, stuff in our life, as they really are, that God's working them together. And I pray that we recognize that Jesus Christ sees us not for who we are or who we have been. He sees us for what he can make out of us. True worship. Boy, it'd be incredible if our response today would be more like the woman's than Simon's. Think about Simon for a minute. He had in his house the creator of the universe. And he didn't even know it. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus Christ came to have lunch with you today? Just came to your house, said, "Hey, I've come to eat with you, dude." I'd say, "Come in, I'm going to cook you something good. Here is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich." I can cook those good. He didn't even realize it. But man, that woman knew who was in the house, didn't she? Some folks are going to walk out of here, I think, not even realize the opportunity that you've had today. Because he is in the house. I pray there'll be some who'll be in the woman category. So today, we're going to have a final song in just a moment. And I pray that it will be a time for you to be refreshed. I pray it will be a time for you truly to honor Jesus Christ. Cry out to him if you need refreshing. If you've never placed your faith and trust in him, then I would encourage you to make your way to the front while we're singing and speak to one of our staff people and ask about that. We'll go to a private place and talk with you. If you'd like to be a part of a church that's striving to have people full of folks like the woman and avoid the Simons, and you'd like to be a part of that, then please step forward, come and speak to one of our staff, and we'll go to a private place and we'll talk to you about becoming a member. Some of you today may be dry. You're living on empty. The enthusiasm is waning. The joy is slipping away. And man, it's a dangerous place to be. Maybe it's time for you, just in repentance and confession and in renewal, to step and come kneel on the steps and say, "God, will you refresh my life? Will you restore to me the joy of your salvation? Would you remind me of who you are, who I am, what you've done for me, your plans for me? Lord, will you just fill me up again with you. A refreshed life. It's in front of you in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we worship, and I invite you to say yes to Christ, yes to a new relationship, yes to forgiveness, yes to wholeness, yes to refreshing. Ladies, we got some ladies down here who'll pray over you if you would like that. Men, we have men here as well. If you'd like to join our church, get information, please come. If you want to just come pray, this is our time to respond to Jesus Christ. As we worship, I invite you to come.